the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
The passionate radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike, Dr. Michael Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. Thank you for listening today. To reach Dr. Mike on the air on the phone, 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211, udocs@gmail.com, Youdocs at gmail.com. Dr. Gary Ginsberg at 20 after the hour, a couple of stories about BPA and a couple of others too. How about a bottle bomb? Is there a bottle bomb brewing in your basement? And Dr. Ginsberg wants to talk about satellites that may show us what's happening to groundwater, and it may not be a pretty thing. So Dr. Ginsberg at 20 after the hour. Sadly, Dr. Mike, Dr. Perry's not with us today.
That's true. He'll be back next week. And you're going to be missing next week, but Arthur and I will carry through along with Bridget will be back for next week, as well as she's going to be here for the last half hour this week. So at least some of our team is here, and I'm going to be here. We've got and there's such great medical stories of the week. I can't and there will be again next week, because I've seen some of them that are coming out next week, some of the articles. So there'll be some wonderful articles to be able to do.
Yeah, well, let's go through some of the news of the week here, and then that'll get us to Dr. Ginsberg at 20 after the hour. We talked earlier about one of the stories about obesity, now considered by the AMA to be a disease now, which means one-third of Americans have a quote-unquote medical condition, which means the potential for new pills for a new medical treatment. And can you imagine the company selling pills to one-third of Americans for this disease? And so there's a big money maker there. You got to be pragmatic about that. But that, on top of the other medical story that we should talk about here for a minute, is that on top of what people may take for a pill for obesity, as it stands right now, almost 7 out of 10 of us take prescription drugs.
Right. This was in Olmsted County, Minnesota. So it's Mayo Clinic's home ground. So you worry that maybe this county is over-medicated compared to the rest of the country. But they said it was similar to the Nehanes data set, which is the rest of the country. 7 out of 10 people take a prescription drug all the time, or prescribed one all the time and take one. The most common, Joe, are antibiotics. Second most common, antidepressants. Mm. And the interesting thing from that standpoint was there are different drugs for different groups, as you might imagine. But what group do you think had the highest, if you will, use of antidepressants?
Oh, younger people.
Oh, wrong. Yeah, it is. Actually, it is the 55 to 64-year-old women. Hmm. It is 25%, and 50 to 64 women are taking an antidepressant. What do you think is the most common in young people?
Most common prescription drug?
Yeah. Let me give you the 18 to 30.
18 to 30.
I'm giving you a tough thing, aren't I?
Yeah.
I'm asking you to guess what I mean. It's an antibiotic.
An antibiotic?
And then, no, that's what it is.
It's an antibiotic. Okay, I thought you wanted specific.
And then what do you think is most, and now I'm on another one. Okay, what do you think is the most common in, if you will, elderly?
Elderly, sleeping pills.
It's actually pills for managing cholesterol or managing blood pressure.
Okay, I just failed auditioning on Jeopardy. I'd never do well on Jeopardy.
Me neither. But anyway, that was the interesting thing was that there is a fair bit of, to me it was an enormous amount of antibiotic usage and of antidepressant usage.
That's the chilling to think that many people are using antidepressants. Are they all justifiably prescribed, you think?
Well, we don't know that, obviously. But that was those are the data, and they felt I got the impression from the article. It was in the Mayo Clinic proceedings. It was done by Mayo Clinic. I got the feeling from the article that they thought they were justified.
How many people do you think don't take any pills?
Well, it's 3 out of 10.
That's
exactly right. It's the reverse of that. It's 3 out of 10 don't take any pills.
That's low. I wonder, can that get any better? Can you increase those percentages of people not taking pills or not?
Well, that's the whole goal of lifestyle medicine. As you know, we have in the Wellness Institute at the Cleveland Clinic, we have a Center for Lifestyle Medicine. One of its goals is to be able to reverse the disease to a great enough degree with lifestyle changes, that is, with managing stress, with doing physical activity, changing the diet, and avoiding toxins. And we're going to get to talk about avoiding some toxins with Gary Ginsberg in the next segment. But is to do that enough, and about 60% of people with type 2 diabetes and pre-diabetes can do it. It's about 30% is our success rate with high blood pressure medications, getting people off of them. If you look at it, maybe you could increase those a little bit. 60% of people with high blood pressure might not need medicines if they were absolutely perfect on lifestyle changes, but you don't have to be perfect. You can get good at it and really do a huge amount in getting healthier.
Smoking rates in this country are down to 18%, but they don't seem to know why. They know the answer. They know the number. It's 18%, but there's a lot of ambiguity as to why it's at that rate. What do you think?
Well, the disappointing part is the state of Ohio is one of the few states, I think it's the only state, that has increased. So from 2009 to now, we have gone from 20.2%. We were at the national average in 2009. We're now at 25.4. It'll cost us $1 billion more in taxes or decreased, if you will, competitiveness for our corporations for their medical expenses. But the reason that we've gone up, maybe the reason the rest of the other country has gone down, there's a greater emphasis on prevention. Here in Ohio, the former governor, not this governor, the former governor, in what I would call a very short-sighted move, took all the money out of tobacco prevention. So we spend zero. Obviously, with other states spending more and being more aggressive with their advertising against tobacco, we're able to bring it down. And so I think where our main hope in Ohio is that the Center for Disease Control programs to bring it down, and that the Obamacare feeling that you can get 20% less or more in your health insurance premiums. If you don't smoke, you pay 20% less. If you do smoke, 20% more. It's not enough based on what they really should be paying for the costs of tobacco on medical costs. But nevertheless, 20% is a big enough number that maybe we'll get enough attention to really reduce smoking. If we knocked out smoking, we'd save $100 billion from the federal budget. And so that's more than they tried to save in the sequester.
Yeah.
So that's $100 billion a year.
How much do you think the expensiveness of cigarettes has affected the smoking rate?
Well, it definitely affects it. And there is something called a elasticity. That is, how much if you increase prices by 100%, what degree do you cut down on smoking? The elasticity for cigarettes is thought to be around 30%. So if you increase smoking taxes, if you increase the price of a pack of cigarettes from whatever it is now, $7 a pack, to $28, that's a 300% increase, you would actually knock smoking down to almost zero. So $28 a pack is an awful lot, obviously. Yeah. But that would be what it would take to knock it that far down.
Wow. All right. Dr. Gary Ginsberg, what's toxic and what's not is coming up after the break. If you want to reach us on the show, 877-711-5211, email, pretty easy. A lot of folks prefer the email. That's fine. Youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. On Radio MD, thanks for listening and stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth, and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.